Welcome to the Business of Behavior podcast, hosted by Dr. Becca Tagg. We support clinicians who have been bitten by the entrepreneurial bug, looking to strengthen their practice to better serve their clients, employees, and themselves.
Hello, and welcome to the Business of Behavior podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Becca. I am really excited for you guys to join us today. The topic for today's session actually came from one of the polls from the ABA Business Builders group on Facebook, asking what sort of topics you guys would like to hear more about. And this one seems to be relevant, especially as we are nearing the end of 2017, which is amazing in that I can't believe the whole year of 2017 has gone by already, but also kind of cool because it means that it's been a full year since I decided to launch the podcast or to spend more time focusing on coaching and consulting and spending more time in the ABA Business Builders Facebook group, which is really where all of this sort of came from. And is not what I thought that I would want to do. I very much love the clinical work that I do. And the more time I spent with other business owners and the more into the business of behavior that I got, the more I found that I really enjoyed it and that it fit well with my values and sort of my goals. So again, this is your episode. This is your session. The information that we're going to talk about today is about sort of end of the year prep for small business owners. And I will start by being really candid that the IRS scares the shit out of me. And I think a lot of that's because I don't totally understand enough about what they do. But I do know that there are major consequences for not doing what they say and doing it right, and that they often want to take the money that I feel like has been hard earned. That said, there are multiple times throughout the year that I simply must interact with them or focus on giving that portion of money to them. And as a true behavior analyst, I'm certainly able to look at my pattern of behavior and realize that every year I put off some of my year-end tax prep stuff, knowing that if I start earlier, it's going to go more smoothly. So today I'm going to share a couple tips that hopefully will help you stay organized and hopefully result in less anxiety related to the end of the year summary and tax prep as a business owner. But it's not just about tax preparation. It's really about when we come to the end of a season, and the end of the year is or can be thought of as a season, it's really important to review what happened during that season, what worked, what didn't. And like true good behavior analysts, we want to be making database decisions. And our financial story, as told through our QuickBooks or our bank account statements, really can tell what happened throughout the year and can help us make choices that are either similar if we're happy with how that went or to make some changes. I also want to be clear that this advice is not meant to replace any information you get from a CPA and that I am definitely not a CPA. And maybe actually that's a good place to start is some people may not be clear about what a CPA is. So a CPA stands for Certified Public Accountant. And CPAs can help with tax preparation, financial statements, financial planning, forensic accounting, internal auditing, income tax, a variety of different things. Really, their primary function is to help businesses thrive. And anyone can call themselves an accountant, but not all accountants are CPAs. So a CPA is someone who has a combination of education, experience and licensing. And there's also state licensing for CPAs. So I'm hearing sort of a parallel process right now with our own field, right, where people can call themselves behaviorists or behavior specialists, but only those with specific education, experience, and testing status can call themselves board certified. And we know the difference of when you are really working with a true board certified professional and then maybe somebody who hasn't met those rigorous standards that you get what you pay for. And that certainly doesn't mean that people who aren't board certified can't be good, but it does mean that it is an additional standard that helps ensure that everybody who calls themselves a board certified behavior analyst or board certified assistant behavior analyst or registered behavior technician, that they all have some sort of minimum competency level. And you can see that in other fields, and the CPA comes up as an example of that. So the first challenge in some of that year-end financial prep is that people often wait till the end of the year to start thinking about these taxes and summaries. And that's part of what makes it such a mess. One of the first things you want to do is to be sure that you're paying your estimated quarterly tax. So our CPA creates this for us at the end of the year when she's doing our taxes so that we're prepared for the next year. So as she's doing our taxes for 2017, she'll give us our printout of our estimated 2018 tax that we'll send in quarterly. So every quarter, I send in the payment for both state and federal, and it's super easy peasy process. You just write the check and you put it with these slips that we get from our CPA. Some payroll companies do it. Whoever's helping you estimate that quarterly tax, and you just pop it in the mail. When I say it's easy peasy, it's that there's not a ton of steps to it, but it also sucks to send off that check to the IRS. I often will follow up in my bank account to be sure that the money's withdrawn, just to be sure that it's made it to them. I will also say that I have never sent anything to the IRS and not have the check clear. I also learned about EFTPS.gov, which is another easy way to pay quarterly taxes. It stands for Electronic Federal Tax Payment System, and it's a tax payment service that's provided for free by the U.S. Department of the Treasury. So you go to the website, again, that's EFTPS.gov, you enroll, and then you get credentials that you can log in, and then you can pay any taxes that are due to the Internal Revenue Service or the IRS using that system. So that might be another helpful hint. Another hint or another tip is to keep your receipts organized all year long so that at the end of the year, you're not doing exactly what I will be doing in about a week, which is taking the big box of receipts and trying to organize them. It's probably going to be a few days before meeting with our CPA, and I'll be cursing at myself while I'm doing it because I know that it goes easier if I keep up on it all year. But after multiple years and a variety of businesses, here we are. So again, I guess being a good behavior analyst, or at least I hope I am, while I know that it would make things easier starting earlier, I also guess that organizing them at the end of the year is not that unpleasant for me, right? Or else I would change the behavior. So maybe for me, the next step is to just accept that this is my, this is what works for me. Or at least right now, it's not one of my biggest pain points. I have envelopes for the different category areas that I have set up in QuickBooks, which is what I use for business expense management. And I classify the purchases in QuickBooks and then also organize the receipts in the same way using this envelope system. And then I give those envelopes over to my accountant when it's time for her to do our year-end review and get started on our taxes. I remember first starting out and spending an inordinate amount of time trying to most accurately classify our different purchases in different categories. And our wonderful CPA then, Jeanette Woodruff, said to me that it matters less for most of the purchases how I classify them and matters more that I classify them the same way each time. This is another one of those examples where my own attempt at perfection actually makes things take longer than necessary. So I let that go and I feel much more confident and comfortable classifying as well as I can without spending too much time doing it. I classify things like rent and therapy materials, but I also break them down by the different services we offer, like speech therapy, psychological testing, psychotherapy, OT, speaking engagements, whatnot, because I want to look at how much money I'm spending for each of the disciplines and services, as well as looking at the different categories where I'm spending it. So I am a true data nerd, and I really like to see where the money is going so that I can be sure I'm making intentional decisions that make sense for the business. Because, for example, if our speech therapist is bringing in the least money, then it does not make sense for me to be spending the most money on materials for her. So in addition to tracking what disciplines it goes to, I'm also checking what areas within the business. So an area that comes up for me every year is continuing education. I totally own that I'm like that meme of, it says like, buy all of the things. And then that stick drawn girl with big eyes and outstretched arms. Like those are my outstretched arms to conferences and seminars and trainings. And I love them. I really just eat them up. And I get super excited to go to new ones and to be able to send my staff to new ones, because that was one of the values that I really didn't get met when I was working for other people. And so knowing that, I tried to, well, not try to, I keep a close eye on that area of spending, because for me, that is one place where I will often spend more than I need to or am supposed to. Another category is office supplies, and that's something that I've operationally defined. Most of them, actually, most of the categories have operational definitions, like a true nerd. And that I've described as items necessary for the daily operations of the clinic outside therapy materials. So things like cleaning supplies and paper products and ink and toner and crayons. So here's an example of where I used to drive myself nuts trying to perfectly categorize things. Crayons could be office materials or therapy materials. But then 15 minutes later, I'm still trying to choose and getting nowhere. So there is no perfect category. Pick one, move on, and remember where you're putting things. You can actually create a list, so an operational definition that's ever growing, sort of like an inventory list, to help you keep track of what gets classified where. And for the record, I ended up going with crayons as therapy materials. Another financial tip is that I'm reviewing our financial position with our CPA quarterly, as well as reviewing it at least monthly on my own. I'm looking at how much I'm spending and where it's going, mainly so I can rein myself in when needed, or to be able to say, gosh, we haven't spent much in this area, so it's okay to go out and purchase X, Y, or Z if it's something that's really needed. There's going to be things that are ongoing purchases, like paper products, cleaners, pens, that are all normal things. And so purchases in those areas, like office supplies, should be pretty consistent across the year. But I also want to take a look at some of the things that are not commonly purchased, but are still necessary. So this year, we furnished two new office spaces or clinics. And so there's going to be more and larger purchases from Wayfair or where else? ECR Kids, Fun and Function, and I don't typically have as many big purchases from them. So being able to look at our data and where the money went can help tell the story of what happened through our practice throughout the year, but it helps me plan for next year as I identify these spending and earning patterns. So like those big purchases from Wayfair and Fun and Function, I'm not going to have those next year. And so while that was a big expense this year, I'm sure there'll be something else next year, but it won't be that. And so it helps me make my projections more accurately, again, based on data. Another way that I prepare is I reach out to our CPA at the beginning of September and ask her for a slightly longer consultation. And so I check in with her then and say, kind of, here's what our year looks like. What do I need to do in this last chunk of the year to prepare and finish strong? I don't want to just sleaze across the finish line of 2017. I really want to finish strong. And so we'll set financial goals, as well as I check in with the mastermind group that I participate in or my own business coach to set my own sort of business goals for the year as well. So sometimes Jeanette will say, our CPA will say, it looks like you have some extra money that you might want to spend in this way, or looks like you spent more in this area or to a specific person. That's a big one. She'll say, so it looks like you've spent X amount to this person, and so you're going to need to send them an end of the year tax statement. Is that something you want me to do? And so then she can sort of get a plan ready for what we're going to need at the end of the year, and have a better idea of what it's going to take to complete our year end statement. It also gives me the opportunity to ask her more questions. I mentioned that we check in quarterly, and I'm also feeling like we've done that more often this year than I have in other years, which makes sense because I'm in a new state this year, and North Carolina has some different state laws and state idiosyncrasies than we had in California. So I wanted to be sure that I was on top of those things proactively instead of reactively. So I actually last year had planned to spend more money on more frequent consultations with the CPA. And so if you're getting ready to launch a business, that might be some extra money that you want to set aside so that you have that support, again, proactively instead of reactively. Your financial situation is really the health of your business. It's the lifeblood. It's what keeps everything moving, and we want that to be healthy. Something else that's helpful is our CPA has access to our QuickBooks online account, so she can go in and get most of the information she needs without asking me to send her a bunch of stuff that I usually send her the wrong stuff, or it takes me a while to get it to her. One of the things she always needs is payroll statements. We use ADP for payroll. They have some great report functions that I'm able to run and then send those over to her pretty easily. I'm also fairly certain that ADP offers a lot more report functions than I know how to use, and that's one of my goals for 2018, to be able to more thoroughly use the different business tools that I have. And I'm putting that into the world. So if you see me in June, ask me about it. Say, how's that going, Becca? Hold me accountable. So today we reviewed the importance of a CPA, the benefits of regular consultation with one instead of just a tax time. We talked about classifying purchases into different categories and keeping those receipts organized. We also touched on using our financial statements as ways to see what we're spending and when in order to tell the story, so to speak, of our business year, as well as to help us plan for the next year. I hope this information was helpful. Financial concerns and questions are completely normal, particularly since most of us did not have business classes or didn't get this information in graduate school, and yet it's a super important part of being a business owner. I appreciate you taking the time out of your day to join me, and I look forward to seeing you guys all online in the Business Builders group on Facebook, and I hope you have a great rest of your day. See you later.